Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for January 30th, 2019. Getting into the book of Judges, Judges chapter 2 and into chapter 3. And as you may have noticed, that this is only 100 days from Genesis to Revelation. And so we've got to kind of skip over a little bit of this history. And you always wish that there's more that we could get into. So if you have a moment when you finish today, check out the show notes and text me or email me, Pastor Hagen, to let me know which part of Scripture you wanted to hear more about. We're about 30 days into our Bible 100 challenge, and here we go. Judges chapter 2, will be starting in verse 6. When Joshua dismissed the people, each of the descendants of Israel went to his own inheritance to take possession of the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, those who had seen all the great deeds that the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. They buried him within the borders of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that, a whole generation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord or the deeds that he had done for Israel. The people of Israel committed evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them. They bowed down to them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtartes. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of raiders, who plundered them. He sold them into the hand of their enemies around them, and they were not able to stand up in the face of their enemies. Whenever the men of Israel went out, the hand of the Lord was against them to bring disaster on them, just as the Lord had said to them, and just as the Lord had sworn to them. So they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who saved them from the hand of those who plundered them, but they did not listen even to the judges. Instead, they prostituted themselves to other gods and bowed down to them. They quickly turned from the way in which their fathers, who had obeyed the commands of the Lord, had once walked. This generation did not act the same way their fathers had acted. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, the Lord was with that judge and saved them from their enemies during the days of that judge, because the Lord had compassion when he heard their groaning under their tormentors and oppressors. But then after the death of the judge, Israel would turn back and become more corrupt than their fathers by going after other gods, by serving them, and by worshiping them. They refused to let go of their practices and their shameless ways. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. He said, "Because this nation has violated my covenant, which I commanded to their fathers, and because they did not obey my voice, I will no longer drive out from among them a single one of the nations that Joshua left unconquered when he died. I will do this in order to test Israel by means of them. Will Israel keep the way of the Lord and walk upon it as their fathers kept it, or not?" So the Lord gave those nations a reprieve, and he did not drive them out quickly. He did not hand them over to Joshua. Chapter 3. The following are the nations that the Lord left in place in order to test all the Israelites who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. This was done so that the generations of Israelites who did not know war would learn how to wage war. Those who remained were the five Sarons of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites who dwell in the mountains of Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon to the entrance of Hamath. They remained there to test Israel in order to know whether or not they would obey the commands of the Lord, which he commanded to their fathers by the hand of Moses. The people of Israel lived in the midst of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. They took the daughters of these people as wives for themselves, and they gave their own daughters to the other people's sons. They also served their gods. This is the word of our God. So today we get into the book of Judges, and this little overview is actually a really, really good summary of what happened. Joshua waged war to take over the land. And that was, I don't know, for a good 40 or 50 years. And then his retirement was there at the end of Joshua. You can go back and read that in your Bibles, where he had said, you know, that whole statement, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And here in Judges, so this is right around, you know, 1300 BC. Here in the book of Judges, God pulls back the curtain a little bit on how he's interacting with his people. And it's something that we touched on back when they were at Mount Sinai, that the strength of the nation of Israel is their God. And they are strong when they trust in their God. Their strength is not in their armies, their diplomacy, and all of those things, even though they might have a very strong army. Because if you fast forward a few hundred years, down to about 700 BC, that's what they call the Silver Age of Israel, when Israel is at its second strongest, diplomatically and politically and with an army, but at its second strongest. But at that point, it is also at its weakest, because in 700 BC, they have Ahab as their king, and Ahab is not a believer at all. So the main idea that we keep coming back to, and kind of the first takeaway, that God is the strength of his people, and that God could accomplish a victory even though they were outnumbered, and God could bring about defeat when his people don't trust him and when his people have turned away. And that's what God did to discipline his people, because he didn't want to lose them. He wanted them to grow in faith and knowledge and trust in him. But God brought them defeat whenever they went out, because they were trusting in themselves, and they were chasing after all the other gods that were in the land. Because part of God's plan was that, and he had said this back during the Exodus even, part of God's idea was that the Israelites would take possession of the land of Canaan in a very incremental way. They wouldn't take it all at once, because, you know, it's filled with wild animals, and God said, you know, I'll drive out the previous nations before you little by little, or else the animals will overwhelm you and kill you. And wild animals, you might think of the shepherd boy David, about 350 years later. He kills the lion and the bear. And the lion that we're talking about is a little bit bigger than the African lion that we know today. It was the Mediterranean lion. And so this is a big cat, and there's lots of them in the area. And so God is driving out the other nations little by little, but Israel turns away from the Lord. So God himself is the strength of his people, and the strength of their God is found in trusting in him. Our second takeaway is this continual cycle that we'll see in the book of Judges, and it'll come up at least once or twice. So when you have our readings here, and you think of Judges, you think of people like Samson and Gideon, maybe you think of Jephthah or Ehud, all these judges that God raised up at different points and different places in Israelite history to teach his people to trust him. But the cycle that we have is this cycle of despair, sin, and then despair and crying out to God, and then God saving his people, and then the people rejoicing, and then they turn back to their sin. And the cycle that we see in the book of Judges is very similar to the cycle that we experience, you and I experience, as people living in this world. It's the cycle of sin, and Sometimes we just have to experience it for ourselves. Not that we should. We should be people who trust God and turn away from sin. But that cycle that we see in the book of Judges is the same cycle we see in the cycle of addiction and the cycle of sin, of falling into a sin. Or, you know, maybe it's not as accidental as falling. Maybe diving headlong into the sin. And then at some point, that sin damages us. It hurts us. It brings about some sort of pain or suffering in our lives. And then we eventually turn to the Lord, or maybe we attend church that Sunday and we confess our sin to the Lord, and we're strengthened by his gospel, strengthened by his word. And we have this newfound dedication to serve the Lord, and we've got this newfound effort to avoid that sin, or maybe conquer it, whatever it may be. But then we fall back and do it again. It's the exact same cycle of repentance, of sin, exact same cycle of addiction. And what is the solution? The exact same fix, the exact same solution that we see the Israelites have. The power of God is your strength. And when there's faith, God will come through. And so, as you go about your day, what I want you to remember is that you have been baptized into Christ. You've been raised with Jesus. You've been given a new life with him. And so that means that the power of God is your strength, that the resurrection of Jesus is your resurrection, that the life of Jesus is your life too. Thanks again for tuning in. Check out the show notes to let me know what we should look at after we finish Bible 100. And in those show notes, you can also find a link to yearbook.wells.net to find a nearby pastor. God bless your day.